morning.
Good morning.
Welcome into Long Meadow Church of the Brethren. For those of you that are in the sanctuary, you've already seen the sermon title. For those of you on the other side, I'm surprised I haven't caught more grief over it, but our sermon title today is Dipping Sauce. And our scripture today comes from John chapter 6, verses 28 through 40. While you're looking that up, the other night we got a knock on the door late afternoon, and it was the police. And I was quite stunned. I opened up the door and I said, "Can I help you, officer?" And they said, "We've had reports that your dog is chasing children around the neighborhood on a bike." And I just laughed and slammed the door shut. They knocked again. I opened the door up. I said, "Can I help you?" They said, "We've had reports that your dog is chasing children around the neighborhood on a bike." And I laughed at him. The cop said, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "My dog doesn't even have a bike, let alone know how to ride it." I'll pay for that one on the way home. John chapter 6, verse 28. Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." And so they asked him, "What miraculous sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come down to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who has sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." May God add his blessings to these passages as we seek him in prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we are able to be here today. We thank you, Father, that we have the ability to reach out beyond these walls. We pray that this message is received and used as a strengthening tool. Father, make these words that are about to come out through me make sense. We would use them to walk closer with you again this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. His name was René Harin. That don't even sound French, does it? Is that got a French accent to it? René Harin. That's kind of close to it, ain't it? Well, however, whatever. That was his name. And René came out with four shapes. The bell, the bow tie, the ball, and the boot. Four shapes that shaped how we look at things. And when asked why, Chef René said, "Because I wanted to. I wanted to do this." And so somebody said, "Well, why four shapes?" And the answer made me laugh when I read it. He goes, "Well, because three shapes would not be enough. And five shapes would just be way too wacky." He said wacky. A Frenchman said wacky. So he came out with these four shapes. The bell, the bow tie, the ball, and the boot. You see, in 1978, Chef René was at the top of his game. And he had the license to do whatever he felt like he wanted to do. He was given full opens to experiment and come up with new ways to have cuisine perceived. He was amazing. He was given the opportunity to come up with the best shapes that would extol the most fun in food. And Chef Rene, I'm sorry, if he was here with me right now, and he is still alive, by the way, Executive Chef Rene Arend was the executive chef working alongside of Tyson's Foods in 1978 to create the Chicken McNugget. Everybody's like, how did a Frenchman get in that? See, he was from Luxembourg. And he was tired of French cuisine, and McDonald's hired him to become their executive chef and create new menu items for McDonald's. And so he looked around and he said, well, the Big Mac's already here, and the double quarter pounder, and a bunch of stuff like that. He said, but too many people come to McDonald's, can't eat red meat. But they can eat poultry, moreover chicken. And we wanted to come up with a way that extolled the virtues of a chicken nugget in fun and quote, unquote, dippability. It was always their plans to have them chicken nuggets ready to be dipped in something. And so in 1978, they began work on Top Secret Chicken McNugget. And they had a name for it. They called it, are you ready? It had a secret name. The Chicken Bit. I thought it would be something like the aerodynamically shaped, streamlined, formed of new way of eating. They called it the Chicken Bit. And by 1983, McDonald's unveiled the new Chicken McNugget with a couple of dipping sauces, which was barbecue sauce and sweet and sour. And if you remember when they came out, the minute they hit, they took off. They couldn't keep them up. It took them until 1986 to catch up with the supply. And in that process, McDonald's blew up the chicken growing market to the point where it had to triple in production to meet up with it. And now, whenever you go there, you can get Chicken McNuggets in any old way you want. And of course, now everybody's on board with it. Wendy's and Burger King and Chick-fil-A makes them stupid chicken nuggets in the morning between them two biscuits. What do they call them things? The chicken minis? They put them between them two little soft biscuits, and I'm telling you, they put some kind of addictive chemical on it that the minute you eat them, you want more of them. That's why I don't eat them anymore. There's a range of dipping sauces now. You can get, and here we go, tangy barbecue, spicy buffalo, creamy ranch, honey mustard, honey or sweet and sour sauces. Back in the day, you might have had yours with options like Szechuan teriyaki when Disney came out with Mulan. Mesquite barbecue, zesty Italian, all those discontinued options suddenly are starting to turn up again. You might have got hot sauce to go with the spicy nuggets, or garlic soy sauce. Smoked cheese to go with the jalapeno peppercorn spicy garlic McNuggets, which I don't ever remember them coming out. If they had, I would have closed down a McDonald's because I'd have bought them all. Sweet chili and Cajun dipping. And when Wendy's came out with those ghost pepper nuggets and that ghost pepper dipping sauce, I thought that this had finally reached the pinnacle of chicken nugget technology. But do you know that to this day, the favorite, when you get your nuggets, the one they sell the most of is? That's right. Who said that? Okay, you get to come up and finish helping me preach, Marvin. You're with me. Good old barbecue sauce. That's the one. And you have to have dipping sauce. Honestly, can you honestly eat a chicken McNugget without having something to dip it in? Do you like it? No, not really. You might do it. Now, my wife is a weirdo because she'll just eat them like this and no dipping sauce. And I'm like, well, you must be a communist. That's the only thing I can figure. Because an American has to have a chicken nugget and a dipper. Boop, 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 boop. This is not an advertisement for McDonald's. This is to remind us of the pairing of the chicken nugget and the dipping sauce. This is about Jesus Christ. Go back to that scripture for a moment. If you back up in John 6 and start reading, you read that the people coming out of the Sermon on the Mount and coming out of all of this that Jesus was doing, they were looking for something. The world was hateful and mean and destructive, and they needed something. And that Jesus has now shown up fully engaged in his ministry. At the beginning of John chapter 6, at the beginning of this part, they went looking for him in a boat where he was not. And they climbed into boats and they went to the other side where they found him. And they were like, we didn't see you in a boat. We didn't see you get in a boat. And you were on this side of the shore. Yet now you're on this side. And he said to them, do you not still see the miracles? Is it because of your faith? He was very sad for them, very upset for them. If you back up even more a few verses to 26, he said, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. They'd already been fed with that miraculous sign. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. And then they start out. What must we do to do the work that God requires? That is the Jewish mentality. They have been taught, you have to do this and this and this and this and this and this and this to get to that point. And Jesus Christ is now telling them, all you need is the dipping sauce. All you need is the new covenant, which will be in me. He says, I tell you the truth, it is not Moses. It was the belief that it was Moses, the father of the Jewish nation, that it was Moses that brought everything down, that because of Moses, all of these things happened, all because of Moses, and their thinking is askew, and they're not sure or able to understand what they think when they see Jesus, and he tasked to tell them that manna came from God through Moses, but not from him. The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Jesus right there is telling them, it is I who can save you. They said, from now on, give us this bread. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. And he who believes in me will never go thirsty. The one with the other. The belief in the body and the understanding of the sacrifice. And he's starting to teach them at this point, this is what has to happen. I read this scripture a couple of times over. And the words that got to me was, I will never drive away. I will never let go of those who come to me. I will never, ever let those who seek be without. I am ready to give myself completely, as per the Father's will, to save all of you. And I'm going to do it. And all of you have to do is simply believe in me. This is done at a time in the Bible, and believe it or not, it still goes on today, that many people do not understand Jesus. Many people want him to go away. Well, there's even those out there that claim to be leaders and teachers in the gospel that would dilute what Jesus has said. It was that way at that point. And so every now and then, we have to re-examine ourselves and come back together with him. We set this Sunday aside and call it World Communion Sunday. I know a lot of people who have asked me, how come you don't take communion every Sunday? Well, we believe that it is something more special than that. And quite frankly, we do communion every Sunday. Did you know that? Every Sunday we do communion. Does everybody realize that? Nobody gets it, right? It's okay. You can say, I don't understand, Pastor Paul. You're such a wonderful brain. Please teach us. Anytime that we hold on to one another's hand, anytime that we tell someone we love them, anytime we come together on Sunday morning to share in the words of Jesus Christ, we are in communion with Him who sent us here. We are in communion with Jesus Christ. But on this Sunday, we stop to remind ourselves of the broken body and the spilt blood that sealed the covenant once and for all. That made us have our way to Him. And it's so simple. It's chicken and barbecue sauce. It's Jesus Christ, the Word and the truth and the blood. Can you find it any more simple than that? You don't need 400,000 page books to tell you about theology, although they're fun to read, and you will get educated from them. You don't need to back up, turn around, and do the thing. You don't need to do the hokey pokey. I saw a sign the other day that said I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but then I turned my life around. And I thought, that's pretty funny. It's like the old joke you heard about the Japanese boat that was in the harbor that sunk, and it was carrying full of, the whole cargo was full of yo-yos. Went down 15 times before it finally stayed. You don't need to make it complicated, and Jesus is saying that today. We come together on this day for something as simple as this unyeasted, unleavened piece of bread. And we eat it. And we take a little drink of the grape juice here in the non-spillable, and they give these to me. I think Long Meadow Church of the Brethren invented these cups just for me, because they know I'll get up here and get active, and I'll have grape juice all over the carpet, and somebody will be fussing at me. Two simple items, juice and bread. And we take 5 minutes, and we bite into this. And we drink from this because Jesus Christ did this. In the Gospel of Luke, 22nd chapter and the 14th verse, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, and boy, this is hard to read because this is it. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Now, after taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. All of this had to come into place so that we could come one day later on and sit down and be reminded of the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is just believe. These things that we do don't make us believers. They don't guarantee a ride into heaven. They don't make us cleansed and pure and righteous. We do these two little simple things. We do the dipping sauce. We do this because Jesus Christ asked us every now and then to do this in remembrance of me. Every time you do this, you are proclaiming my death. You are proclaiming that I died for your sins. You are proclaiming that I am the Son of the Most High. You are proclaiming that I am the bread of life, of which you will never go hungry or thirsty. And so we set aside today and we contemplate. I get a big kick out of this day, especially when we start putting this bread together. I don't know if you can see it too well at the camera, but the bread is made a certain way. It's measured off a certain way. It's made a certain width, and it's got a certain amount of poles punched in it. Because while it's being made, and I remember when I was a kid growing up in the Church of the Brethren early on, my grandmother and some of the deaconesses, or the women of the church, which quite frankly are the ones that kept running, because they made the bread and they fed us at the meals, would be downstairs in the kitchen making it. And us children would stand at the door knowing, here's the threshold, you don't cross it. Because if we get in the kitchen, we'll get in trouble. But if we stood there and behaved ourselves, we'd get a little piece of the offing of the bread when they were cutting it into just the right pieces. And I remember my grandmother would come and hold on to all of her grandchildren and give them each a piece. And we thought that we had just been given the greatest gift that there ever was. And to this day, when we take on this moment, we are reminding ourselves of the greatest gift that was ever given, ever, ever, forever. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our dipping sauce. Our simplicity. Parnell Bailey was visiting an orange grove where an irrigation pump had broke down. Their season was unusually dry and some of the trees were beginning to die for the lack of water. The man giving the tour then took Bailey to his own orchard where irrigation had been used sparingly. These trees could go without rain for another 2 weeks, he said. You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. Their hardship caused them to send their roots deeper into the soil in search of moisture. Now, mine are the deepest rooted trees in the area. While others are being scorched by the sun, these are finding moisture at a greater depth. Brothers and sisters, our hardships is what makes the dipping sauce so much sweeter. We root in deeper. We look more. We take this moment and we treasure it closer. And because we live in the way that we live with the knowledge of what is yet to come, it makes us all that much stronger when we're faced with life's hardships. Don't you agree? Can you imagine being dried up and withered because we didn't have that to root into? And how do we root into it? With something so simple. Just to remind us of the hardships our Christ endured. And gave us this place of solace and comfort. And when we need to, we can just go back to the dipping sauce to strengthen ourselves again. Our dipping sauce is the spilt blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. And the hardships that we endure only serve to make our resolve stronger. The resolve that is made stronger is reminded to us each time when we do this and we think about the man that crawled to Golgotha pulling his own cross, nailed to it, broken, beaten, and died just to simply rise again to save each and every one who would simply believe in him. I didn't know how this was going to work, and I've never done this before, so we're going to try it. The brothers and sisters, your other family here, video family, have shared in it. But I would like to do this today with you and ask for a moment that I be your proxy and share with you the dipping sauce. Examine yourselves. Admit your sins. And then, this is the body of Jesus Christ, which was broken for us. Every time we eat this, we do this in remembrance of him. And this is the blood that was spilled from Jesus Christ that seals the new covenant, that washes away our sins. And every time we do this, in remembrance of him, we proclaim Jesus Christ until He comes. May God be with each and every one of us today as we are reminded of our dipping sauce. Let us pray. We thank You, Father. We thank You that we are able to come forward in front of You in such an easy way to understand what You would have us know. We thank You, Father, that You gave us Jesus Christ. Simply gave Him to us. You gave Your Son. You sent Him down here to us. And one day we will be back with Him. We will love Him. We will commune with Him. We will share this bread and this cup with Him. And the latter will be washed away. And we will be new again. Remind us, Father, to do this as often as we would in remembrance of Your Son Jesus, who by His very blood, by His very broken body, saved us. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We find peace. We find ourselves renewed. We find ourselves fulfilled. And we are reminded, and this is the will of Him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that He has given me, but raise them up at that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in Him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. And if you don't understand that, if you don't know that, then today find Jesus. Come to know Him. Reach out to me, reach out to someone else. To those here today, our bench is open as we come forward singing this last hymn. But may God bless each and every one of you that shares in that communion, that shares in that dipping sauce, that is our Savior Jesus Christ. And we are blessed to be done through by that. Thank You.